Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to take a look at the salutation in the early part of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, building on some of the key themes this season of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Easter season goes all the way to Pentecost. We pick up the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of the Father along the way. In many ways, friends, the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension are really one act. It happened at different times, but Jesus rose from the dead and the new humanity began in his flesh. The new thing God was doing, the creator of the universe, the most spectacular, the most important thing ever happened in the flesh and the humanity of Jesus Christ as he rose from the dead and then he makes his way. It's an ascending. It's a resurrection and it's an ascending and going back to the Father. He had some things he had to do here on earth before he ascended ultimately to the right hand of the Father, but it was the upward movement of taking in his own person humanity, fallen, broken, lost, darkened, weakened humanity, unable to lift itself, to save itself, to lift itself from glory. It happened in a person, in Jesus. And so that the ascension is just a continuation of our celebration all the way to Pentecost, because Pentecost will be the celebration, again, recognition of what happened when the Son returned home victorious, the King, and has the authority and power over this fallen race of people. And Jesus had established his kingdom in a small band of men and women, and he poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to empower that band to be able to go forward and to extend that kingdom throughout the world. So this is what we're celebrating, and none of this is ordinary time. It's all really about the extraordinary things that Jesus has done for us, and it's so important that we internalize this and allow it to lay hold of mind and heart and will. Christianity means change because of the explosive realities of what I've just been talking about. And it's crazy to see how easy it is for us human beings to just not see it and to not be hungry for it or to pursue it. And then Christianity becomes very bland. It becomes a kind of practice of law and just simply a set of rules. And all this amazing dynamic of what Jesus has actually produced and given us the power to actually live the law, to actually walk in it with him, we miss it. And you can't walk in it without this power, without this life-transforming grace. And it's helpful to see what it looks like in the mind and heart of an apostle. Like we've been going through the last couple of days, touching on a passage from 1 Thessalonians, Paul writing to a small community of new believers who are being persecuted. And he says they're under tremendous pressure, constant pressure from the unbelieving community around them. And unfortunately, they don't have any mature leaders leading them right now. I mean, that is strong, experienced leaders like Paul or one of the apostles. So Paul's writing to them to help them understand who they are. He goes right after their identity, helping remind them of who they are by appealing to their actual experience and give them an understanding of the meaning of their experience so that that experience can strengthen them and they can continue to walk in it. So we ended yesterday where Paul was saying to them in verse 4, chapter 1, he said, "For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he's chosen you." He knows, one, that they're loved and they're chosen. Why? Because they've received the gospel. You know, no one comes to the Father. No one can understand who Jesus is and what Jesus has done without the help of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how God chooses. God chooses us. When we hear the gospel, it's a sign that we're chosen by God. And then Paul said, and here's how this good news about Jesus and your life and destiny came to you. It came to you in word. So it was preached to them. Faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. Number one, number two, it came also in power. The gospel has power to change lives. We've got to reclaim with great confidence the power of the word of God and to walk in that power. The power is, you know, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses," he told the apostles just before his ascension. This is what he meant. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul said, the word came to you, or the gospel came to you in word, power, and the Holy Spirit. I ended yesterday's program asking the question, Can we identify the working of the gospel in us like this? Paul is appealing to an experience which they knew. They knew their life was changed and transformed, and so he wanted them to see it and keep hold of it and see in it a source, the source of the strength that they need now to face the persecution and the trial that they're in. And he said, of course, the fourth indicator was that they received it with full conviction. It's a gift from God to know and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and to be able to declare it. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not just a generic truth. It's true about my life. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Messiah. He's my Lord. And I'm a member of his body. I've been grafted into the body of Jesus. And his saving reality, his saving deeds have come to me and they've changed my life. And I'm beginning to see and beginning to live out Paul identified in the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. I believe in him. I trust him. I put my hope in him. And now I'm walking in his footsteps and obeying his commandments more and more each day. So Paul goes on, he goes, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. It's a good thing to do, imitate the apostles and to walk in their footsteps, right? To imitate the apostles who are imitating the Lord and imitate the Lord himself. He said, for you received the word in much affliction. In much affliction. The context with which, in which they heard the good news about Jesus was a context that they knew if they responded to it would cost them. And that they would probably, some of them would have to pay the ultimate price. But they discovered in that good news the pearl of great price. There's nothing, I mean, Jesus, knowing Jesus is priceless. It is the most wonderful gift. It's the most powerful, the most important thing anybody in this life can ever experience. And that is to come to know and to believe in and to follow the person of Jesus. Today, the church is beginning to experience a little bit of affliction here in our own country. Some of it is self-imposed because of our own sinfulness and foolishness. But there's a resistance that I talked about last week, maybe the week before as well. There's a rising hostility to Christianity that's growing in the culture. And Christianity is starting to be considered by some powerful voices as really a source of the problem, some of the problems that we're facing, not only in our society, but across the world. Of course, there's pressure to believe by the brights, they call themselves, you know, that there is no God, that it's all an illusion. So there's lots of different kinds of pressure coming upon believers now. I mean, it's nothing compared to what these folks are experiencing. I mean, at least here in the United States, because certainly we know that people are being martyred and killed for the gospel, just like the community in Thessaloniki and other places at the time. So that good news came. The word was received when they were in affliction. And he said it was also received with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised, he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, I came to bring you full joy, the joy that belongs to him. And here these Christians are experiencing that very thing. And it's happening to these young Christians in a context where the circumstances would not normally produce that kind of response or that kind of experience. This is something that we need to see. And one of the reasons why I like to go through these and talk about these passages on the radio is because we can see that when the gospel's received in power, when people believe it profoundly and lay hold of it and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, it begins to change our experience of life. And suddenly, the circumstances of life, which dominate us so often, determine whether we're going to be happy or filled with hope or whatever it is, or have joy in our lives. The circumstances tend to dictate our experience, and then we end up by default walking in a response to those experiences that are not, it's not very helpful. It's rarely joy in the Lord because many of us don't believe it's possible. We don't know the Lord in this kind of life-transforming way. We know him as God, often a distant God, a God who might be somewhat dissatisfied with us. We project our image of ourselves onto God. You know, we think about ourselves, the way we think about ourselves is what we project onto God, and we completely miss the burning fire of his love for us, and how much he's in our corner, and the radical work he wants to do in us to make us a new creation. I mean, objectively, it's happened if you've been baptized into him, but it's also a realization we come into. The purifying fire of the Holy Spirit has to burn off all the stuff in us, the habit patterns of sin, the darkened ways of thinking, the susceptibility we have to fall into and be seduced by the lies of the enemy, who's constantly getting us to try to give up, to quit, to walk away, and to not come into the light and experience the kind of joy that keeps you in the fight all the way to the end. He said, so you receive the word in affliction and in joy. It just sounds like 1 Peter. St. Peter is saying the same thing to the communities that he was writing to. Affliction and joy seem to go together in the early church. Does that happen with us? What's the church like today? Is there much joy in the body? It's certainly there in places. But does the church radiate that kind of confidence of living individuals and a living body of believers and followers of Jesus who can say, I know I'm beloved and chosen by God, and I know that the good news has come to me in word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and my heart burns with radical conviction, and I want to share that love with others, even with those who are persecuting me. Paul goes on in verse 7, he says, so that you became an example for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. How about that? A body of young believers under serious persecution, constantly being pressured by the unbelieving world around them, experiencing affliction and the rest. And what's happening? God's word is going forth from them. I love the way Paul puts it. The word of the Lord is sounded forth from you. Is that what's happening with us? Your life personally, my life, our families, our parishes, our dioceses, is the word sounding forth? I mean, in many ways, it isn't a kind of mutism that's on the body. We stand mute. We don't speak very often of Jesus. We do a lot of arguing maybe with people about the church and the state of the church and the rest of it. But I'm talking about what these brothers and sisters wanted to talk about. They didn't worry about their affliction. They didn't spend time preoccupied licking their own wounds, as it were. Instead, they became God's megaphone, and the word of the Lord, this saving word, this good news, this gospel sounded forth from them. Isn't that amazing? And they had very little power and influence in society. But God, the living God, the God of the universe, real power, was at work through them. He said, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Paul, he packs so much into these verses that are totally relevant to us. I'm going to take up this last verse tomorrow. Hope you can join me again. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.